Good morning, Ron. It's Chris Clark calling from Crook on the edge of Weardale in County Durham.
It's a very nice part of the country, that area, isn't it, Chris? You know, you've got the scenery and everything.
Yes, it's lovely, yeah.
It certainly is. Now, you're a retired intelligence officer. You were a police officer in Norfolk Constabulary. But you're now writing books, and you're called Armchair Detective. So, but you've already had two books published. Do you want to tell us about those?
Yes, the first one was Yorkshire Ripper, The Secret Murders, which was published in June 2015. So far it's sold just over 10,000 copies. It's still selling. And then in August 2017, co-authored with my friend Robert Giles, we had co-authored The Face of Evil, The True Story of Robert Black, the Serial Killer. And in the bearing in mind it's half the time of the Yorkshire Ripper, it's equaled in sales, so very pleased about that. As a result of my books, I'm now appear also now on CBS Reality. And I'm actually involved tonight in a CBS reality, Murder by the Sea, which is on at 10 o'clock and repeated at 2 a.m. It's the case of John George Hague, the acid bath murderer. And today I'm going to talk to the listeners about it. There is a competition, a listener question, to win a copy of The Acid Bath Murders by Gordon Lowe. And Gordon's actually in the programme tonight. So the viewers on Murder by the Sea will see it. And the question is, what else was found by the police in Hague's workshop? And there were three elements to that. And the listener question has to come through my website, which is www.armchairdetective.org.uk. And the first person to give me the correct answers will win the book and be posted out to them. Basically, John George Hague, the acid bath murderer, he was born in 1909, and he was convicted for the murder of six people, although he claimed to have killed nine. He either battered to death or shot his victims and then disposed of their bodies using sulfuric acid. The reason for the murders was gain, financial gain. He forged their signatures so he could sell their possessions and collect large sums of money. So that's basically the background to it.
Right, now, he moved to London as well, didn't he, in the mid-30s?
Yes, he in 1934 he married, but when he was convicted of fraud, he was imprisoned and she left him. And he moved to London in 1936, where he was a chauffeur to William McSwan, who owned an amusement arcade. And basically, he continued scamming people. And eventually, William McSwan became one of his victims. And in 1944, on the 6th of September, around about, McSwan disappeared, and his parents wondered where he'd gone to. And what had happened, Hague had hit him over the head after luring him into a basement at 79 Gloucester Road in London, SW7. He then put McSwan's body into a 40-gallon drum and tipped concentrated sulfuric acid onto it. And 2 days later, when the body was sludge, he poured it down a manhole. He told McSwan's parents that their son had gone into hiding in Scotland to avoid being called up for military service. Hague then took over McSwan's house and began collecting rents, but he wanted the money from the properties, so he then murdered both Mr. and Mrs. McSwan.
Right, now, the next murders, they took place in around about the mid-40s as well, didn't they?
Yes, what happened, he moved from the Gloucester Road address to Onslow Court Hotel in Kensington, and by the summer of 1947, he'd run up gambling debts and run out of money. So he then planned to kill another couple, Dr. Archibald Henderson and his wife Rose. And that occurred, and he rented a small stone warehouse workshop at number 2 Leopold Road in Crawley. The workshop did not have a... So what happened was he was doing the same thing, killing them, putting them into acid, but then he was having to dispose the remains into the garden, and that was his later downfall. And this is where the listener question comes in a bit.
That's quite the thing to do, to bury a body in a garden without being seen by other people, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Clearly, at that time, he got away with those two. And his next victim, and last one known, was a lady called Olive Durand Deacon. She was 69-year-old. And basically, what happened, she went missing, and quite clearly, she was reported missing by her friend. Hague accompanied the friend to the police station to help, and the police became suspicious of him. And 2 days later, police uncovered his convictions for fraud, so he then became a main suspect in the missing person investigation, stroke murder.
Right, and that, but of course in those days, there's not the records kept as they are today. It would be something written down and the police would find, wasn't it?
Yes, I mean, he had a record at Scotland Yard, but they had to go and search for it and find it. There was no collators in those days. But basically, following his uncovering for convictions, the police then investigated the workshop, and when they forced the lock open, they found Hague's record and the various paraphernalia of rubber gloves, rubber boots, rubber apron, gas mask, etc. At that stage, they had no idea what it had been used for. And then eventually, by searching the garden, they came across the sludge that he'd, the remains of human body fat. And there were three important things that they found, which is the listener question, which then led to the fact they were what was remained of Mrs. Durand Deacon, and it was from those three items that he was eventually convicted, that they realised that those three items, the lady had to be dead. So although there was no body, it was sufficient to convict him of her murder.
And if people want to contact you, if they if there's anyone out there with any information, I mean, I know it's a long time ago. If they want to get in touch, Chris, how do they do that?
It's the same as the listener question contact. It's my website, which is www.armchairdetective.org.uk. Then look for my contact page, fill it in with the message.
How many murders did he admit to?
They convicted him of 6, but he claimed to have killed 9.
Right, okay then. And right now, so is there anything further you want to tell us this morning, Chris?
His trial and execution, basically he made up a story that he was mad and that he was a vampire and that he'd drank the blood of his victims. This to try and avoid the death penalty. So it was run as a case of insanity, but basically the jury saw through the fact that it was set up, and he actually went to the gallows, and the one of the most famous hangmen of the day, Albert Pierpoint, was the man who executed him. And on the day of his execution, He was asked if he wanted to see the chaplain, and he said, "I don't see much point in it to you, old boy." And he then went to Maker. And I say it's on tonight, 10 o'clock, CBS Reality, Murder by the Sea. And it's on Freeview Channel 66 and Sky 146. And just like to add at the end that the proceeds from my books, the advances and royalties, go to supporters of stray and abandoned dogs at DNS Kennels just outside Langleymoor and Durham. And also like to mention Chat and Spin, who've been very generous on allowing me the airtime to promote my stories.
That's quite all right, Chris. We I think a lot of people, when you weren't on for a few weeks, you know, when you weren't too well, and then we had technical problems as well, people were wondering where you were, you know, so which is good, and we'll be speaking to you again at the same time next week.
Yeah, I just wondered whether they'd check in the obituary columns, because I do that regularly just to make sure I'm still here.
Yes, that's a good idea, yes.
Yeah. And the winner of today's competition will be announced on air next week.
Right, okay. Once again, just repeat your contact details in case someone was scrabbling for a pen or a pencil or something.
Okay. Yeah, the listener question is, what else was found by police in Hague Workshop, which led to his conviction? And the website is www.armchairdetective.org.uk. Look for the contact page, fill it in, and fill in the answers to the question.
Okay then, Chris, thank you very much for coming on, and people, get your heads together and reply to the question, and you'll win a really good book. Okay, thanks for coming on this morning.
Thanks very much, Ron.